And it is Focus with Paul W. Smith. Mike Parsons filling in. Paul will be back on Wednesday. And the Pistons, the number one in the Eastern Conference seed Pistons, will begin their playoff run on Sunday. We'll find out who they will be playing against tonight, the final night of the play-in games. Justin Valentine and Nick Lundberg from Just In with Nick Notes, the podcast. They'll also be on tonight at 8 p.m. And Beth Ann Long, JR afternoon producer, but she'll be covering the Pistons playoff run for WJR. Join us for the first ever panel, I guess, on Focus with Paul W. Smith. Nick, I'll start with you. Who would you rather see in the first round, the Magic or the Hornets?
I mean, it's a tough question, but either way, me and Justin have been talking about this on our segment as well, that I think either opponent, the Pistons should sweep them regardless, but I really want to see Charlotte for the entertainment factor.
Yes.
Just because of the fight. And a lot of people are saying they're scared of Charlotte, but if you actually watch them play, there's not one guy on their team that can really defend anyone, and they shoot 53s a game. And with the Pistons' defense and how they match up, I just don't see them making more than 40% of those shots.
We need another hated rival in this town, like the days of the Red Wings versus the Avalanche. And you got Lonzo Ball out here grabbing people's ankles. I think that if Jeremiah Stewart, he stays composed, I think that the whole issue of the Hornets emotionally wearing out the Pistons, I think that goes out the window and it becomes an advantage.
Definitely. And I mean, the Pistons have experience and the Hornets do not. And I mean, we've seen all the stuff with LaMelo and what he's done. And honestly, I feel like the Heat should have beat them in that game if Bam didn't go out with that injury.
Right.
I'd really want them for the entertainment factor, just like I said, with the fight and everything. But I really don't see a way for them to win, you know, any game.
You know, Beth Ann, Cade Cunningham, he came back from a punctured lung in what, like 2 weeks? He was back pretty quickly. How do you think he'll hold up for a long playoff run?
I think he's going to hold up fine. He's been doing really well since he came back. And like, he even addressed in his time off that he was able to address other like bumps and bruises that you just accumulate over the season. And he was able to address those and take the time he needed, which he may not have gotten if he didn't have to take the time off. So I feel like he's going to hold up just fine.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the Pistons have played so well, surprisingly well, without him in the lineup that you don't have to rush him back to full minutes.
Yes.
I mean, they played against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City wasn't resting their starters, and the Pistons hung with them. So maybe you know, his table for return, you know, you don't need full Cade back till maybe the Eastern Conference Finals.
I agree. I think that they don't need to worry about how long he's in the game, because as you said, they've been holding up just fine without him. So I think they're going to be in a good shape no matter what.
Justin, the NBA Players Association, they made an exception for Cade, where he'll be eligible for postseason awards without meeting that 65 game threshold. Do you think that matters? Isn't it SGA's award anyway?
Yeah, first off, it is SGA's award, most likely, or Wemby, one of the two. And for me, as much as I'm happy for Cade, and I am, and even Luka, that rule was made for a reason.
Right.
And the reason was most of these NBA stars didn't want to show up to work enough. And I feel for those who, you know, out of their control, fell out of that 65-game span, but that's the rule. And I'm not mad at it for Cade or for Luka, but if we continue to give these exceptions, then down the line when we have other weird circumstances, and who can appeal and who can't? Anthony Edwards got denied, right? And he tried to get, you know, his whole situation. So it just becomes too, you made the rule for a reason. You got to follow it.
Yeah, I think the NBA handled it the right way. I think that I think that you can make exceptions. I agree with the rule for to try to mitigate load management, because load management is a problem. It's made me hesitant to buy tickets to a game, because what if you buy a ticket to the game, you want to see SGA, you want to see Wemby play, and they're sitting.
Yeah, and that's the issue. And then you have national TV games and so on in these big games. The Pistons have played the Thunder a couple times this season. Have we seen SGA? I'm not sure, right? We had a whole game that was a bunch of reserves versus a bunch of reserves, and people wanted to see a potential NBA Finals preview, and we didn't.
I do like the exception, though, for an injury that's outside of someone's control, because Cade would have played 65 games if he was healthy, I think.
I guess it depends on the award, right? I think you could, if they want to alter this rule, and maybe it's, okay, for the MVP it's this, but for all NBA it's this, and whatever it may be. Because again, does it really matter? We all know it's either SGA or Wemby. So why are we going out of our way to like make sure Cade or Luka can potentially win the MVP that they're not going to win?
Right. Yeah, and it's a moot point anyway, because like you said, it's probably SGA's award anyway. You know, pivoting away from basketball real quick, Nick, Kevin McGonigal, he signed an 8-year, $150 million contract extension. Does this seem a bit premature? Do you like the move?
No, I love this move. You, especially with the uncertainty with the CBA and the MLB coming next year, when there might be a work stoppage and, you know, owners and players aren't sure how, you know, contracts are going to look like moving forward. I think it was very smart to get ahead of it. And I mean, we're 19 games into the season at this moment, and every game it seems like Kevin McGonigal seems to impress more and more and more. He finally got his first homer the other day. I was there at the game yesterday. They won with the Colt Keith walk-off. He was super impressive among, you know, Dylan Dingler and these other guys.
With the umpire bathroom delay.
Yeah, that was, besides the rain delays on top of the umpire getting sick, I didn't really know what was going on.
I feel
there.
For that, man. I mean, come on. It's national TV. Everyone knows why you're running to the dugout, sir. Like,
exactly.
You don't even want to tell your coworkers what you're doing, and now the entire audience knows what you're doing.
Could you imagine being like a goalie, getting all that gear on and saying, I have to use the bathroom, then you got to take all the gear off?
You might as well have another intermission at that point, because it's going to take me a minute.
Yeah, right. Put in the backup or whatever. You know, speaking of hockey and the other Ilitch-owned team, Bethann, the Wings, they lost the season finale 8-1 to the Panthers, another year where they take a dump, no pun intended, in the last month and a half of the season. You see any changes being made with the front office or the coaching or even the leadership in the locker room?
Absolutely. This offseason, I think, is going to be crucial for the Red Wings, because that end to the season was just embarrassing, finishing 10th in the conference.
It seems like the Iser plan works from like October till February.
Yeah.
And then it stops.
And that's how it's been consistently for years now. So I think Ilitch needs to sit down this offseason, sit down with coaches and determine who they're going to move forward with and who are just jerseys sitting on the bench who are filling space. And I think they need to spend in this offseason. And I would say Larkin is probably a huge question mark for them. He's in his prime right now. Mm-hmm. He's not exactly doing too much for them, no matter how good of a player he is. So I would say they would need to consider how much in return to trading him is he worth what they could get in that trade.
And Justin, real quick before we get out of here, WrestleMania is this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they have this weird partnership with ESPN. I don't really think it's working. What about you?
Emphasis on weird, because it is. It's not a sport. It's sports entertainment.
Right.
Right. And you also have a majority of the ESPN personalities who clearly don't watch the product. And, you know, WWE loves to blur the lines a little too much if we're scripted, but, you know, we're going to show you behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Wrestling fans don't want to see that much behind the scenes. We want to believe what we're seeing, and you're showing us way too much.
Yeah, like the wrestlers are being interviewed out of character, which is actually really boring.
Very much so. And then they're trying to also jump back into character to push the story.
All right, listen to Justin Valentine and Nick Lundberg tonight at 8 o'clock. Find them wherever you get your podcast, Just In with Nick Notes. And listen to Beth Ann in about an hour with Ryan Armani and throughout the playoffs covering the Pistons. Guys, thanks for joining me on the segment. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith.